Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. A great looking crowd out there this morning. We want to welcome each of you, and we want to especially welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And if you would give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So, if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. At this time, Jessica would like to make an announcement.
Good morning. I wanted to make a quick announcement about tomorrow night. We are having a youth choir, praise band, and drama team from Northbrook United Methodist Church in Roswell, Georgia, come to our church tomorrow. They will actually be here around 10 a.m., and they're going to be doing some work in the Agape Counseling Center, helping Caroline Dennis out, and there's a room over there that she needs finished. So they'll be working during the day in the Agape Counseling Center, and then that night they'll be doing a concert for us at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. And like I said, that's a youth praise band, drama team, and their youth choir will all three be here. So you kind of get a three-in-one deal if you come for the concert. We also, I'm making a desperate plea for host homes for these young people. We are just a few short, and we've had some drop. So if you are willing to open your home to house a few of these young people in your home Monday night, you will need to be here at the concert. But also, please see myself, or you can see Larry Moore after the service. We are really desperate to get host homes for these young people. So please, please, please consider it. And then they will have to be back up at the church on Tuesday morning. But please see one of us if you're willing to open your home. And that is all that I have to announce.
Okay, so you have a choice. You can either go help work in the Agape Counseling Center renovating, or you can show up tomorrow and support the kids that are going to be working there tomorrow afternoon. So let's have a big crowd tomorrow night to support those young people as they present a program to us. A reminder that the South Carolina Annual Conference will start this afternoon and go through Wednesday, so we ask all of you to be in prayer for the ministers and lay delegates that will be at Annual Conference this week. Also, some have questioned whether or not you can still donate to the Belize trip, which will be leaving on the 14th of June. Yes, you can still donate on that trip, and just mark your checks, Belize trip, and it will go into the appropriate account. Also, youth, graduates, and parents of graduates will have a banquet this afternoon at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. So all please plan on attending that at 6 o'clock. Family Fun Night will be Thursday, June the 12th. This is a kickoff for the summer and for Vacation Bible School. It will be a beach party at the Cabana and Pool at Grand Harbor. Cost is $1 per person, but we do need reservations to know how many will be there, so just call the church office and let them know. Just because you're not associated with Vacation Bible School doesn't mean that you can't come to this. This is for the entire church, and again, to kick off all of the summer activities that we're going to have. Beginning June the 10th, summer movies are back for the children. It will be each Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. All you've got to do is contact the church office on the Monday prior to that Tuesday to let them know that you will be attending. We will have a lot of summer activities, so please keep your eye on the newsletter and bulletins for those activities and the deadlines for making reservations for those, and make sure that you do call in time to make reservations. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. There is no place we can go without God, when we are alone or when we are together. When we walk or when we fall. When we are in the shadows or in the light. When we worship and when we turn away. God is here, always with us. Come, let us worship.
be seated and join me now in our invocation. O God of truth and knowledge, let us never lose our sense of wonder about the world you have given us. Let us never see ourselves as too young, too old, or too wise to learn new lessons from you. Give us courage to judge ourselves and wisdom to learn from those you send to teach us. Teach us to surrender our own wills that we might seek yours and draw closer to your grace. Grant that we might always use your gifts to build a world where peace, justice, love, and hope reign in wisdom and in truth. Amen.
The Main Street family lost one of its youth in the death of Chad Withard in 1994. Chad was a fine young man and a disciple of Christ. Following his death, a scholarship was established in his memory. Each year since, the congregation of Main Street has given the scholarship to a young person who exemplifies the qualities of character that Chad embodied. As someone who knew Chad well, I am honored that this year's recipient of the Withard Scholarship is a young person who has become what many of us saw in Chad. I am pleased to announce that the 2008 Chad Andrew Withard Scholarship recipient is Ryan Moore. The award will be presented by the 2007 recipient, Mackenzie Thorpe.
And now I would like our graduates, our high school graduates who are with us today, to come forward for a moment of recognition and to receive a small gift and to let us know what they're going to be doing next with their lives. If you'll come forward. Before we get started, I want to point something out to you. You've probably noticed, having come to this church so many years, that the top of this sanctuary, if you look up for just a moment, it looks like a boat. And that's on purpose. It's an upside-down boat. And so all these years you've been praising God, you've been singing, you've been listening to preachers, sometimes listening to preachers, in a big boat. And to take the analogy way too far, it's time for you animals to leave the ark. And we want to hear from you what you'll be doing next in your lives and your plans. And also we have a small gift, and this is something I started last year that may be my tradition from now on. It's also a Methodist tradition. This is a journal. The pages are all blank. It's not that I'm unimaginative and uncreative, it's that you are creative and imaginative, and that as you write down your thoughts, as you grow so much in the next few years, there is tremendous value, not just in writing them down, but in looking back years later and say, my goodness, I cannot believe I ever felt that way. I have grown. It's a good way to mark your growth. So journaling is a Methodist tradition. John Wesley did it. All of his thoughts are published. He probably wishes now that he hadn't written all of his thoughts, but these may never be published, but they'll be of value to you. So, Alex, Bishop, this is your journal, your senior gift from me, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to you just to say your plans for the future.
I'm Alex, and I will be attending Lander in the fall and majoring in business and playing soccer there, too.
Okay. Thank you. And Paige, this is your journal, your gift, and your opportunity to speak to the congregation.
I'm Paige. I'll be attending Lander in the fall and major in education.
And Hannah, your journal for you to fill up and your opportunity to say what your plans are.
I'm Hannah, and I'm going to Lander and majoring in education.
And Ryan, your journal to fill up with your own thoughts, and the microphone for you to fill up some space in the service with. I'm sure you're going to say a little bit more. Okay.
I'm Ryan. I will attend Winthrop University in the fall. I plan to major in English, and I'd like to thank everyone for the gifts you've given us through our lives.
Thank you.
Parents, church, before you today stands your children, the child whom you have raised, watched over, cared for, protected, taught, learned from, been angry with, tickled by, and laughed at, sometimes all at the same time. The child you have poured your life into and kept close to you because of your love for them. The child you have sacrificed for. They stand before you today not as your children, but as young men and women ready to take the next step in life, a step away from the security of your life to begin to build a life of their own. They are ready to make their own sacrifices, ready to plot their own course, ready to meet the challenges that will face them. Rest in the comfort of knowing that you have taught them well. You've taught them to trust and rely on God for their direction and purpose in life. Rest also in the knowledge that God goes with and before them and that they are not alone. Continue to intercede for them in prayer. Continue to check up on them and ask about their well-being. After all, no matter how big they get, they are still and always will be your babies. They will still need you for many years from now and will one day realize the wisdom and understanding that you now possess, even if they can't see it. Hold fast and trust them. Graduates, the affirmation is also the same for you. Hold fast. Hold fast to the lessons that you have learned and to the teachings of your family and your church. Hold fast to the Word of God in which there is life, direction, peace, prayer, comfort, exhortation, benefit, and ministry. Don't let the years that you have spent in training and preparation for this time pass into faded, darkened memory. Stand firm in the faith you have received and filter every experience and decision that you make through its lenses. Be free enough to explore your new world, yet grounded enough to keep your feet on the right path. Everywhere you walk, you go with our prayers. Let everything you do glorify God. Let every word you speak honor Him. Let every thought be guided by Him, and He will make a way for you. We believe in you. And now we send you out into the world, not just to make a name and life for yourself, but also as missionaries. You will have to make sacrifices in life to achieve your dreams, and I hope that those sacrifices pay off. However, you will find that no sacrifice is more important or better rewarded than those you make for the cause of Christ. This is my prayer and blessing for you, that your dreams and His dreams become one dream, that your lives become so closely connected that those around you are unable to tell where yours ends and His begins, and that He will lead you and preserve you all the days of your life. Now, will their parents please join them up front and graduates kneel, and will the congregation join me in the blessing of the graduates found in your bulletin? We have passed on to you what we hold most dear, our faith, integrity, love, and belief. We will pray for you every time we think of you. Commit yourselves to Christ and never forget his love for you. Be courageous and live an exemplary life. We send you out with the understanding that we believe in you, that you will succeed. We have faith in you that you will remain true to our teachings and the Word of God. We will be praying for you as you walk through the days of your life. May God be ever present with you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. Go in the peace of Christ. You may be seated.
I don't usually say anything about the anthem, but I chose this morning's anthem, which was arranged by John Carter for his wife's ordination, because I thought that the text was quite appropriate and was perhaps the prayer that our graduates might be secretly saying. It says, "Guide my feet, hold my hand, and stand by me, Lord, while I run this race, because I don't want to run this race in vain."
As we come to our time of prayer, there are some special concerns you may not be aware of. Tina Redfern's father died this past week. Suzanne Sly's mother died this past week. We should continue to be in prayer for Ken Flincham. Continue to be in prayer for Chuck Drake as he moves home and into his rehabilitation phase some more. For Frank Hawthorne, for John Reed, Patty Nichols' father. For Kathy Kelly's sister, Marty, who has ongoing treatments. And for many other concerns that you hold dear in your hearts. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come before you this day to thank, to praise, and glorify you together as family in Christ. And some of our family here have accomplished much in graduation and now journey out onto new paths and new directions. We lift them up in our hearts. Lord, bless them, we pray, with wisdom as they choose and caution as they journey and success in their efforts. You are our rock and foundation. You are our hope and defense. You have been our guide as we lived and worked and have grown to be the people we are now. And you have been with our students as they walk the hallways and pathways and as they discipline their bodies in sport and their minds in studies. We pray that each of us at all ages have indeed increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and others. In ways small and large, your son's teaching has shone through our lives. And we have witnessed and thought, word and deed, to the truth of the gospel. May we always and in every place witness the same. Even in new places, even far from home, when on vacation or in new schools and situations, let us never be ashamed of who we are and who we are called to be in Jesus Christ. Bless us in our lives and bless our graduates as they go forth. Uphold us in faith and hope and love and make us to be the salt preserving what is good and the light exposing what is evil. Use us to bless others and use us to support each other here in this family. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us as you did in the apostles long ago, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of reverence, and the comfort of your presence. And as we remember that this church's motto is making disciples, let us all remember that none of us are completely made yet. Grow us all in the direction of Christ. And Lord, hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in a moment of silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. I'll ask the ushers to please come forward.
yours in the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes and returns to your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
I would like to now invite the children to come forward for our children's message with Jessica Morris.
Good morning. This morning I wanted to share some pictures with you that I found last night. And it is actually whenever I graduated from high school. And these are kind of old pictures, but there's one when I was in my cap and gown. I haven't changed a bit, have I? This was everybody in my class. This is my graduation cake. This is my family at my graduation party. And some of my friends at my graduation party. But these are all pictures that I took to help me remember my graduation. And if you look on the front row right here, you see all the graduates right there? They probably are taking a ton of pictures this week. And they take the pictures to help them remember their graduation. Pictures help us remember and take in the event so we can look at it later, and it reminds us of how wonderful of an experience it is. And this, Jesus actually does that for us. When Jesus went back to heaven to be with his Father, he left behind a picture for us to remember him by. It isn't a picture in a photo album or that we can look at and remember what Jesus looked like, but it's a picture to help us remember what Jesus did for us. We call it the Lord's Supper or communion. And this morning we're actually having communion. Just before Jesus was crucified, he called his disciples together for a meal. He took a piece of bread. And he told the disciples that the bread was to remind them of his body that would be hung on a cross for them. He took the glass of wine and he told them that the wine was to be a reminder of his blood that would be shed for them on the cross. He told them that whenever they took the bread and drank the wine, it was to remind them of what he had done for them. That was Jesus' picture that we have today. We still eat the bread and drink the wine today, and when we do it to help us remember what Jesus has done for us. So let's have a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this picture to remind us of what you did for us when you died on the cross. Help us to remember and be thankful. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading for this morning is from Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 21. Hear now God's word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this message is not just for high school seniors, but it starts out that way. I think we can all hear something for us. And I started looking to get a feel for where these seniors were in the world. Most of them were born in 1990. I hope that's about right, I hope. A lot happened. Is that close? Okay. A lot happened the year you arrived. Communism fell in Russia. Nelson Mandela was freed from prison in South Africa. Iraqi troops invaded Kuwait and set off the Persian Gulf War. And Jim Henson, creator of the Muppets and Kermit the Frog, died because his belief system rejected antibiotics. All the big stories, in one way or another, represented the effect of ideas and decisions. And when you guys were about 5 years old, the internet was such big news that I was interviewed by the Spartanburg Herald Journal at annual conference because the South Carolina United Methodist Church had, wait for it, a web page. A website. When you were five, that made front page news. And now digital advances are just expected. Now if you have enough money, you can have your music library, you can have the internet and email and games in your pocket on your iPhone. You have one? Anybody get one for graduation yet? Well, you will. I've been told your parents all have gotten you. No. You guys have grown up in an amazing time, and you may even feel just a little bit superior to old folks like me. Don't. Because you had absolutely nothing to do with the things that happened to be in your world when you got here. Nothing. Older people and other people built all of this for you. Now it's your turn. What will you build? And upon what foundation will you build it? But consider this. Some of the things that we call advanced are extremely fragile, even much more fragile than the technology which came before. At a relative's home years ago, I came across some old plate glass negatives. On plate glass, probably you've never seen anything like this. These were of portraits of people that were taken in the late 1800s. Now, these negatives were perfect. If you place one on a scanner, you could see the actual imprint of the actual photons made at the very moment that person smiled in front of the camera in 1878. Amazing. It wasn't faded. It wasn't degraded in any way. And if I did scan that image with our brand new highest technology onto a digital file and stored it on a hard drive, it would last, well, how many of you have ever had a hard drive fail? Raise your hand. How many of you have never had a hard drive fail? Boy, are you in for a treat. You will.
And if your pictures and your tax records and your letters and your drawings and your schoolwork and your names and addresses are on that hard drive and it's not backed up, you will lose everything all at once. It's sort of like having a fireproof safe with gasoline and a match in it. It's the equivalent for some folks of having their home burned to the ground with all its contents. You see, the newest is not always the safest for important images or important thoughts or important and lasting ideas upon which to build a record of memories or even to build a life. Newer is not always better. How firm a foundation? How firm a foundation do we build upon? The conceit of every generation, including mine as I came along, is that now we have arrived. You other guys out of the way. Every generation has felt that all of human history has conspired up until this point to produce me and a few of my friends to set things right. And that's the rub. That's the question. What things are wrong and which way is right? And upon what do we build this grand new world? Careful. We live in a time when human trust and faith in our own ability to control the world, to control nature and weather and economies and even human behavior, that trust in human ability has never been higher. And you guys are entering full adulthood at a time when caution is extremely low and hubris is extremely high. And we've all stopped asking the question, we've almost stopped asking the question, should we do that just because we can do that? For example, and this is a wonderful example, I read about some researchers in California, and they are mapping the fault lines in the earth. And what are they using to find these faults in the earth? Dynamite. They place charges along known faults and they detonate them. What could go wrong? The resulting squiggles and jiggles on the seismograph reveal hidden fault lines. But suppose instead of just jiggling the fault, they jaggle it and it lets go. Well, oops. I guess we didn't know as much about faults as we thought. We live in a time where playing with dynamite has become commonplace. Playing with dynamite is standard operating procedure. Everything is extreme. There are extreme sports and extreme caffeinated sports drinks and risk-taking on top of risk-taking and mingling DNA from different species just to see what will happen. You know, what could go wrong? To expand the metaphor, today there are more dynamite fuses, more accessible to more people in more places than ever before. And so my main thought to this graduating class and to all of us is be careful. Be careful what you swallow and what risk you consider acceptable and what dynamite fuses you light and what foundation you build upon. And so many of your decisions as young folks have been made for you up until now. And you may feel like you've been making your own decisions, but don't fool yourself. Most of you live at home, paid for by your parents, eat food, paid for by your parents, drive cars, paid for by your parents, insurance for the cars, paid for by your parents, and wear clothes, paid for by your parents, and talk and text on a phone, paid for by your parents, and you'll go to a school, paid for by your parents. And they will tell you what tests to take, and then they will give you the grades they think you deserve, and they will write that in your permanent record. Others have largely defined you and boundaried you and kept you safe this far. Now you're going to walk out into a world filled with faults and hidden faults of your own and start making more and more decisions and making up the direction in your life. And some people have the mistaken impression that decisions are things you make every once in a while when a major issue comes up, and that's not true. All of life is made up of decisions. Every conscious moment is another decision, from the moment we wake up to how we fill our day, to short-term and long-term decisions and self-discipline and goals that we are shooting for. All of this defines and builds up and sets a direction for our lives. And most people are dimly aware of what motivates their decisions. And I believe, it's my belief, that many, many people, too many people, don't make decisions at all. They simply adopt the views whole hog of the group, whatever group they most desire to be viewed as a part of. Please don't do that.
Please don't do that at whatever age. Think, investigate, don't allow other people to pre-digest your learning experience, your struggles with faith, your political views, your cultural views. Dig for yourself is the only way to get to the real rock bottom where a solid foundation may be built. Beliefs require investigation and struggle. And if you have not investigated and struggled, you do not yet have a personal set of beliefs strong enough to base your life-directing decisions upon. I think of the scripture, Philippians, the second chapter, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your only true freedom is to choose what you believe, who you follow, and upon what to build. As Socrates said, an unexamined life is not worth living. Well, I'd like you to examine, all of us, examine these questions. Does God exist? If so, how then should I live? Does God love me and forgive my sins and failings? If so, how then should I treat others? Does God love my enemies as well? How then should I treat my enemies? Is there an afterlife? If so, how then should I live? From Matthew, the 7th chapter you heard earlier, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. These days, people are cynical and looking for truth. The church has always been in the truth business. Love God, love others, even enemies, and love yourself. Do this, and you do well. Amen. I ask you to join me on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Now let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us briefly pass the peace. Ask those who are going to help me serve to please come forward at this time.
Congregation,
I'll ask you to please turn to page 17 for the musical setting of communion.
So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join them.
blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. That we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.